At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis, Moskva sinking. I immediately call upon Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator, Sagamore Institute, to help me understand the London reporting most recently of the sinking of the Moskva. This is Slava-class cruiser, 12,490 tons, 186 meters long, with a crew of in excess of 500. The question is, what happened and what do we know from photographs that have emerged, including a video clip of the Moskva as it was being towed or coaxed towards land, but sank, we're told, in heavy seas. Now, none of this is fixed. It's all as best we can do at the moment. So, Jerry, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. We're told this is the flagship of the Black Sea Fleet and that it is now no longer. From the photograph, what can you tell about the damage that was done? What did that damage? And what does it mean for the crew that are in no evidence anywhere in the photograph I have? Good day to you, Jerry.
Good day, John. And what we see as we look at this photograph is, first of all, the bow section of the ship is completely enveloped in smoke. And so obviously still a heavy ongoing fire when this photograph is taken. Close analysis of the photograph, zooming in, we appear to see two penetration or entry wounds in the ship's side, amidships, which is consistent with an anti-ship cruise missile. These missiles, with their onboard radar seekers, tend to zero in on the center of mass of a naval platform, and so they will tend to focus on the central part or amidship section of a ship, attempting to hit there, knowing that, one, those are areas where crews are stored. Second, those are tend where heavy machinery tend to be. And third, that's also where ordnance as well as fuel tend to be stored. And with the Moskva or Slava class cruisers, all three, in fact, are true in that case. So it looks like the Moskva took a penetration of two missiles amidships, probably just forward of amidships in one case, and that caused a massive fire to break out on board the ship. There's a lot of scorch marks. There's a lot of peeling paint. There even appears to be a little bit of warping of metal, but I don't want to say that, in the sense that the photograph is not definitive on that, but it looks like it took a lot of heavy damage internal to the ship, and that caused a lot of casualties, as well as probably the cooking off of some of the other ordnance that was on there. So it was a good hit by the Ukrainian Neptune system. Looks like it hit two missiles amidship.
It appears, Jerry, it might be the angle of the photograph, to be listing to port side a little. Does that tell us that it's taking water or something? What does that tell us about what's going on below decks?
Yeah, so it does appear to have a slight list of port in this photograph. And by the way, despite the fact that the Russians have reported that the ship sank due to high sea state, this does not look in the photograph to be a high sea state. By the way, it also does not look like there was exceptionally high sea states during the moment of attack. Going back and looking at the weather patterns on the Black Sea, it does look like that there was a storm and that there were some winds, but the Black Sea is a fairly small body of water. And so you're not going to get sort of the extremely high sea states that you would see in the Mediterranean or even the Atlantic, where you have a longer reach for the wind to have an effect and to drive higher and higher seas. So I'm a little skeptical about the Russian initial claim that the ship sunk in a high seas. So, but she does appear to be listing slightly to port, which suggests that she was taking on water at that point in time and was probably becoming increasingly unstable. Now, this ship, if you look at the design, has a very high center of mass. So it has a high island mass structure that tends to make them a little bit top heavy. So as the ship becomes unbalanced because of taking water on, she will increasingly roll farther to the port and then to the starboard. And then that could have caused an overturn of the ship eventually as she just become too unstable because of taking on the water.
I see the apparent strikes amidships. I do not see any personnel whatsoever. What does this tell us right now about how much warning they would have had before the missiles hit?
Based upon the position that I've seen from overhead imagery and radar image, it will appear that she would have had about 3 minutes of warning. Now, there have been conflicting reports that the Ukrainians had put up a UAV that may have distracted the ship from seeing the missile as it came in. Also, there was, again, a rainstorm or a squall that was going through the area at that time that could have also distracted them or at least hidden the Neptune missiles as they were running in. Those are sea skimmers based upon the information we have. Mind you, this is a brand new anti-ship cruise missile system that was made indigenously by the Ukrainians. This is not an import that they've received from someone else. This is something that they built and looks like they got into the battle about 45 days after the start of the war. So it was still under development. We did not think that the Neptune was in place yet. So they would have had about 3 minutes, but if they were distracted, the Slava class has 3D air search radars that sit there and they scan the sky looking for air contacts. But those radars were made in the 1970s. They can really only track very few contacts. And once they lock onto those, they attempt to pass them to targeting illuminators. It could have been very possible that ship became distracted by an unmanned aerial vehicle and then did not see the Neptune as they were coming in at wave height.
What's burning below decks, Jerry? Why all this smoke in the bow section? And it obscures, in fact, the bridge.
The Slava class cruisers are powered by gas turbine engines, essentially jet engines. So they're not steam powered. They have these four large jet turbines in them. They are powered by, obviously, jet fuel. And the Slava class carries about 17,500 gallons of fuel internally. So what we're probably seeing there is the burning off of that fuel that's kept way down in the lower section of the ship. The Neptune probably has a delayed contact warhead so that once it penetrates the outer skin of these ships, which, by the way, that skin is not thick. These are not the traditional World War II battleships with 8 inches of armor or 16 inches of armor. These are very thin skin vessels. Once that warhead penetrates, then it explodes internally in the ship, probably igniting fires. Those fires could have spread to the fuel, and that's probably what we're seeing.
I don't see from this photograph, and I don't have professional eyes, any lifeboats whatsoever. Would they have been on deck and then launched? Is that why we don't see anything? I think I see a lifeboat in the stock picture of the cruiser.
So there are a difference between what we would call gigs and lifeboats. In most cases, there would be a captain's gig or an admiral's gig. This was a flagship, after all. So it embarked about 25 members of a 3-star flag, the commander of the Black Sea Fleet. However, what we generally have is sort of self-contained, self-inflating life rafts. And in looking over that photograph, I see no evidence of the life rafts still being on board. These would be in something that looked like 50-gallon barrels attached to the side of the ship. It looks like, in fact, those life rafts have been deployed and that a portion of that crew has escaped. We've seen reports now that about half of the crew got off, many of them having suffered extensive burns, and that half the crew are still missing. Again, those reports are unconfirmed. The Russians have not exactly been forthcoming on their announcement of casualties throughout this war, but it looks like the life rafts for the crew were deployed and that many of the crew did exit the ship.
Jerry, what I know about ships sinking over time is, say, from the Coral Sea, the Lexington, and the way that the crew fought the fire. It was hours. In fact, I think it might have been a full 24 hours before my memory is a Japanese submarine hit the Lex while it was being towed. But the fighting below decks went on despite the fact that there was ammunition and fuel everywhere below decks. Does this photograph tell us how much they would have had to fight the fire, what opportunities they would have had to defend themselves, or is it too much to ask from one photograph?
It's probably too much to ask from one photograph, John, but I think there's a larger picture here. You thought of the Lexington. I thought of the Franklin, which was an aircraft carrier that we certainly should have lost, but the crew was able to fight and save it during World War II. But what I look at here is that perhaps we're seeing a breakdown in Russian naval training that's on par with the breakdown in what we were expecting out of the Russian land forces. We really expected them to do much better, but in fact, we saw that basic things like maintenance of tires, maintenance of the vehicles did not occur, and that caused the Russian forces to grind to a halt ashore. I'm worried that, in fact, what this demonstrates is that perhaps the training with the Russian Navy was also not up to par on things like, you know, surface-to-air missile detection and then tracking to conclusion to defend the ship, or for that matter, doing damage control once the ship had been hit, and whether they were really trained and up to speed to be able to do all what we call in the Navy, doing the basics with brilliance. We don't think that this may suggest the Russian Navy is not quite up to step, at least within its surface force.
Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy, retired senior fellow at the Sagamore Institute. We're addressing what we know so far about the sinking of the flagship Moskva, but the militarization of the Black Sea, in addition to what we can presume to be the threats by Russia if and when Sweden and Finland join the contest and join NATO, meaning the militarization of the Baltic Sea. Does it continue into the Med, into the Atlantic when we come back? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.